down the stretch they come. Final few minutes of Grant and Danny. We'll take you up to 6:30 on the Fan. Don't you worry about a thing. Washington is building a foundation of success on and off the field. You should think about doing the same. Plan your future. Exclusive sponsors of our show will help. That's the law firm Condori & Murad. They'll help you update your last will and testament, set up a revocable trust for you and your family, schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them G&D sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. They invited us via text to their holiday party.
Yes.
Unfortunately, we will not be there because we will be in New Orleans, which I'm very excited about, for the Commanders and the Saints. We're going to go to a third road game this year, believe it or not.
That's all we do.
But I bring this up because they're having their holiday party at one of my favorite restaurants and places. So I would love to go kick it with those guys. But I'm not surprised to hear, because everything they do is first class and legit, and the way they've treated us and the way that they do everything, I'm not surprised to hear that they're going to have an awesome holiday party that I would have loved to go to.
I know. Just as you said, like, we're not just going to do some kind of half-assed thing. We're not going to do some poorly planned slapdash throw together. No. They're doing it right. And that's what they do. They do stuff right.
They're in their lobby, and they're like, you know, you get a scoop of ice cream out of a carton if you come downstairs. Like,
here's a drink coupon for a drink. A drink. No.
That's not how they play.
Treating you nice.
So we appreciate that offer from the lads. We texted them back and said, alas, we're going to be seeing Washington put one on the Saints, he said with a straight face after yesterday.
The game will happen. That's what we know.
It is comical just how much the world has changed in a short time. We were seriously talking about how they can't lose and they're so good and they're going to be a playoff team and no one's to see them. And that was 7-2. That's how you feel when you've lost twice in 2.5 months.
I mean, but beyond that, they couldn't lose. Even in a game they should have lost. Of course they get the Hail Mary.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? Like, I know they deserve to win the game, but once they deserved to win it, then they were going to lose it, and it was going to be one of those games. But of course they still got it. Like, it was to the point where you go, even if we're going to lose, we don't lose.
But if not for that Hail Mary, if not for a DB arguing with fans and forgetting a play was happening, if he's locked in and he helps get that ball batted down or away from Noah Brown, they're 6-6 right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane to be able to say that this season, based on how this thing started.
Mm-hmm.
But they would be 6-6 in this moment without a Hail Mary. One play goes differently. And it's not like, oh, well, if they didn't have... No. It's literally a miracle doesn't happen, wild, wacky, crazy play. They're basically a 6-6 team as we sit here, and losers of 4 of 5 at that point. And it's just a whole different conversation. It just means they got a lot of work to do. Now, here's what I'm not going to do. I am not going to be down on the operation, largely. I am not going to be upset about the grand scheme of the program. I am able to constantly have two different hats that I can put on.
Yeah, I can spin two plates.
The first of those hats is my big picture hat. Tell me when you want me to wear that. In year one, they're way ahead of schedule. They're 7-5. They probably have their quarterback of the future. It looks like they may have hit on the QB at number two and might have the guy. Dan Quinn has a culture that he's establishing. His staff that he built is really good. I know Adam Peters is the guy. I've seen that. I feel great about Adam Peters. And they're probably 2 or 3 games ahead of where I thought they'd be right now. And they're going to end up being 2 or 3 games better than I anticipated that they would be this season. I had them winning 7 games. I think they're going to win 9 or 10 games now. So that's a far cry from Super Bowl contender a couple months in, or, you know, a team that could make a playoff run, but still a really good thing. That's my big picture.
Yeah, it's a major step forward from unserious program that won four games last year.
But here's what I also can't do. I can't do the thing that a couple of people do where they yell at me and go, every time you try to have a conversation about a game you shouldn't lose that you lost, a play that you should have been able to execute that you didn't, a bad performance by a coach or a quarterback or a coordinator, as if they are just above reproach because they've already won 7 games and it's only the first year, and how dare you guys be upset? Look at the record. They're 7-5. I know they're 7-5. I know they're ahead of schedule. I live in reality here where now that you're 7-2, you don't just get to lose the rest of your games. Like, you now have to change your sight lines, and I am grading each drive and each play and each game as its own. I am treating them like a grown-up. I'm treating them like they belong here. And then we can go back at the end of the year and say, what an accomplishment. Adam Peters gets an A. Dan Quinn gets an A. Jaden Daniels gets an A. But it doesn't mean along the way, when we're looking at this thing game by game, that the exercise is just, oh, well, they played a bad game against the Cowboys. They lost a game they absolutely shouldn't have. Their offense was bad again. Their defense wasn't nearly as dominant as it should have been. Their special teams had one of the most wild and inconsistently kind of tumultuous performances I've seen in years. But doesn't matter. Year one of Dan Quinn. That is not how I'm going to operate. I'm just not willing to do that.
Yeah, again, I think you said it very well. You could spin two plates. We ask that you do that. Like, join us. Come along. We'll take you there. We'll hold you by the hand at first till you get used to it, and then you'll be able to wade in the waters by yourself. Because that's what's happening, right? This is, given how good that first nine-game stretch was, you're not disappointed at all that they dropped their straight games? You're not disappointed at all that the offense looks worse? You're not disappointed at all that the production hasn't been there in both the running game and the passing game? You're not worried at all about the offensive line or anything that comes with it? Everything's still rosy? My point is, big picture, yeah, violent shove forward into seriousness. It's now all relevant. There's a point in having these discussions. There was not a point before when Ron Rivera and all the Martys are going, we really like Sam Howell, we really do. We didn't know that he was good, but then we did know, but we should have put him in, but we didn't know before we knew. And now that we know, okay, we really do, but he's QB1. Unserious nonsense. Waste of time. The whole exercise every day that he went into work was a waste of time for everybody. Okay? This is not that. This is now grown-ups with a chance, with a reasonable plan. Whether we agree with the plan or not, that's the fun of this whole medium. Let's chop it up. Let's just be a bunch of pals and saying, I didn't like that signing. I like this one. I didn't like that play, but I did like this one. Let's do that. That's normal conversation. Big picture, yeah, you have an owner, a GM, and a quarterback. You're a long way down the line from where you were a year ago at this point, where I'm looking at draft boards and trying to figure out if it's Drake May or Jaden Daniels. So, yes, I can both celebrate where I'm at and say, damn, left some meat on the bone there this past weekend, or, you know, what did we do to fix this thing? I'm not just willing to let things go down the drain. I think people can do both.
800-636-1067 if you want to hop in. We'll get to the calls in one moment. Quickly, Marshawn Lattimore, caller at the end of last hour, said they got to get him back. You ain't kidding, buddy. They need him.
Mm-hmm.
When he comes back, the way they're playing Benjamin St. Juste, who played his lowest snap count of the year and over the last couple of years, yesterday, by the way, it's going to be Lattimore and Mikey Sanders still, and then I'd imagine they'd rotate St. Juste to Igbinoghene probably in some capacity. But obviously, they need him. They give up too many big plays. I thought yesterday was much better, but I think that's just because they were playing a receiving core outside of CeeDee Lamb. That's kind of a bunch of 9-to-5 jobber ham and eggers. But they did give up the 40-yard completion to some guy that I don't know named Jalen Brooks, who I had to Google today. I wish they wouldn't have done that. St. Juste gave up that play right before the end of the first half. But yeah, they need Lattimore back. I have no idea if he's going to play. I'm done guessing also. I thought he would play 2 weeks ago. So this is clearly a more serious hamstring injury than was anticipated. I think they're probably surprised at this point about the seriousness and the lingering effect of this hamstring injury. But hopefully he's out there, because they traded for him for the next 2 years, but also to help him in this stretch run. And so it would be a real bummer if he comes and plays later this year at a point where it matters less now. Like, you get him back this week to help you get on the winning path and solidify a win going into the bye, then at least you've got a final stretch of the season where he can play and get indoctrinated with Joe Witt.
The idea of him right now is very sexy. Right? Like, comes in, changes the way you the coverages you can call, the way that you can blitz, leave guys on an island, do all that. We haven't seen it yet, but we're very hopeful that it's going to be transformative for this defense. I know I certainly am. I'm not counting on it necessarily, but on paper, in theory, this is an injection of life into a defense that's been asked to do, frankly, way too much. And it has held their own for the most part in these games here of late. Both against, and frankly, all three of these games, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia for most of the game, held them in check. Same thing here with the Dallas game. It's the offense really let them down. But the turnovers haven't been there consistently. The pressures. This is a group that, talking about Quinn and Witt, whose defenses lead the league in interceptions pretty much every year. That has not been the case with this group, right? They've done a good job in terms of fumbles and forcing things and ripping balls out, etc. But hadn't been the way that you'd want it. So you're hoping that's transformative. That's an injection of life for them down the stretch to get some more easy for their offense.
The other one that we needed to hit is the running back issue that he brought up. And this is something that I think is a massive story to hit tomorrow in detail on the show. But they have played without Robinson, mm-hmm. and they have played without Eckler. They have never played without both this season. And I think they're about to, if I had to guess. The Eckler concussion did not look good at the end of the game. And for B-Rob's ankle to flare up the way that it did, they didn't say high ankle. I certainly hope it's not. But, I mean, that just looked like an awful folding up of that leg that he played through for a quarter and then wasn't able to in the second half. So that would mean the Jeremy McNichols show. And then on the practice squad, they've got Michael Wiley, who was the college free agent that played in the preseason, who was really, really good out of Arizona, if I remember correctly. He's 5'10". He's 210 pounds. He's shifty. He showed he could catch the ball a little bit in the preseason. So you re-sign Chris Rodriguez, presumably. Him and McNichols do a lot of the carrying the football and the thumping, and then maybe Wiley gets some of those pass-catching ops. I just have no idea where he's at as a pass protector. Mm-hmm. I think that is one area I'm concerned about, by the way.
Yes.
We've seen McNichols step up from time to time. Like, Eckler's good at that. Robinson knows how to do that. That's a huge key with a young quarterback.
Massive.
Who's getting sacked, by the way. His pressure to sack percentage the last 3 weeks is 27%. Jaden Daniels has 10 sacks on 36 pressures. They are not getting away from pressure. He's getting to the ground way too often the last few weeks, which was not an issue early in the year. Let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067. JaVale's in Culpeper on Grant and Danny. What's up, JaVale?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, buddy.
I was skeptical about the start, but as we've seen over the past several weeks of the season and the past couple weeks particularly, we've seen the Cowboys beat the Steelers. We've seen the Browns beat the Steelers. In the games that we've lost over the past month, the Ravens and the Steelers are top 5, 6, 7 teams in the league. You know what I'm saying? They were one possession games. That's why I wasn't, I wasn't hell bent on us beating the Cowboys, because we've been in that situation over the past 5, 6 years where the Cowboys have been the favorite and we've won. You know what I'm saying? And right. Twice over Thanksgiving in the past 4 or 5 years. You know what I'm saying? So, people are so week to week, and I don't know if that's the correct phrase to use, but they're week to week.
Reactionary,
and it is what it is. But we are in a position where we're still 7th in the NFC, and over the last 5 games of the season, if we go 3-2, we're going to be 10-7 and make the playoffs. And at the beginning of the season, a lot of people said, the bye week is too late, and we've had a bye week between week 10 and week 13 to 14 over the past 3 or 4 years, which most teams don't do. But I think it's going to be a beneficiary to us at this point in the season. I don't believe Lattimore is going to play until after the bye week against the Saints. I think that's kind of poetic justice to go back for his first game. But with him in as – and he's probably a top 7-8 corner in the league, and that's going to change our defense dramatically, because St. Juice is going to be our fourth corner at that point, because everybody takes a step down once Lattimore steps on the field in our secondary.
Yeah, I think – thanks for the call, buddy. I think St. Juice, based on the playing time he's getting right now, is definitely not going to be the starter. Sandra still's playing every snap. He's essentially become their number one on the outside. Whereas St. Juste is splitting time with Michael Davis. And Davis actually outsnapped him, I believe, yesterday. So it'll be Lattimore basically as the one, assuming he's in the shape to do that, with Sandra still on the outside. And then Igbinoghene, you keep Iggy inside. And St. Juste mixes in on in and out probably. Spells Lattimore a little bit as he gets into game shape. Let's go to our guy Steve, who's in Houston listening on the Odyssey app. What's up, Steve?
Fellas, what's up with you?
Hey,
been
buddy.
A minute.
Been too long.
Hey, dude. Yeah, been too long. A little Major Tutty action for you. hey, Grant, you know, you said something key. Well, first and foremost, let me ask you a question. On confidence, a scale of 1 to 10, I'm about a 4, so I guess that's a 40% level in confidence for the playoffs. But you said something that I really like where – so everybody knows it's a rebuild, right? And we know we're going into the season, and I think most people before the season started predicted anywhere from 6 to 8 wins, right? Because you didn't know what was going on. You know, rookie quarterback, new head coach, new GM, new ownership, right?
Right.
Everything was up for grabs. And so what I don't understand, and I'm trying to find a good happy medium, just because, okay, we're at the 7 win mark, what is satisfactory now? Do you take your foot off the gas? Like, I think the expectation, no one is saying Super Bowl, right? But I do believe we should have beat the Cowboys team yesterday that had 5 starters out.
Oh,
2 offensive linemen, what, the quarterback, Diggs.
Steve, they had $100 million dollars of cap space. Thanks for the call, buddy. $100 million of cap space not available to them playing yesterday. It's a great phone call. You're 100% right. I actually will be able to have like 2 different thoughts on this. If they were to miss the playoffs at 9-8, let's say, I will say both. That was a terrific first season for Dan Quinn in terms of
major step forward,
like surpassing the expectations. They doubled their win total from a year ago. They're in a really good spot. And then also, what a massive disappointment the second half of that season was. And to go from 7-2 to 9-8, which is a 2-6 stretch run, is also a collapse. And I think both can be true. You had an amazing season for year one. Starting the way you did and then finishing the way that they would have in that hypothetical, I think both of those things could actually be takeaways. It doesn't have to be one or the other. Eric's in Silver Spring. Eric, the question is, what's your level of confidence that they make the playoffs still?
Gentlemen, Grant, I also was saying the same thing to the guy who took the call. What you said was, you know, how people think that you can't be upset because we have 7 wins and be like, okay, that's, you know. And truthfully, if you were to say in July training camp that we were right now has 7 wins and then heading into Thanksgiving week and a chance to make the playoffs, we would take that 100 times. We'd be like, hell 100%. Yeah. This team that lost 8 straight last year? Yeah. And I didn't see any predictions for us to win 8 games. I saw the season total was 6.5 to 7. Like, you know, so 8 wins would have been like this is our rebuilding year. Like, now, next year, if we do bad, then we should be mad because we should be only going up now. You know, we've been down so long that now we should be trending. We're trending up. And Dan Quinn and, you know, what his staff and, you know, everybody's talking about Kingsbury. And I don't know if y'all noticed, but where was his offense, that fourth quarter offense? Where was that the first 3 quarters?
Would have loved to have seen it once or twice. Would have been nice, right?
55 minutes of not moving the ball and having 92 net passing yards and then 5 minutes where they had a game's worth of offense. Seriously. They basically had the same amount of yards and success as they did in their lowest yardage total game of the year in the last 5 minutes of the football game.
Yeah, they doubled everything, you know, in terms of overall yardage, more than doubled their points. So it was a crazy last 5 minutes. I was there too. So, but the takeaway to me is about the first 55 where they couldn't do much.
Pretty staggering. Some breaking news just into us here on a story that we were monitoring on 106.7 The Fan the last few days. And I think you got an email as someone whose kids are in the Fairfax County school system from the superintendent that Hayfield High School's football team, which was up 75-0 at the half. This is the school we've been talking about that was involved in a recruiting scandal where 24 new players allegedly came to play at Hayfield with a head coach who has a feeder program and supposedly didn't recruit them, but they all just showed up in the weight room one day. They were allowed into the playoffs, and a lot of other teams at the last minute that were about to play playoff games got screwed, and then Hayfield was back in. Well, they've played and won a playoff game, and now it sounds like they're back out of the playoffs.
This is from the letter from the superintendent. I am writing to share a significant update on the current actions regarding our high school athletic programs. This evening, the principal of Hayfield Secondary School announced the difficult decision to withdraw the football team from further postseason play. I've asked Tom Horn, executive director, activities and student athletics, to work with VHSL to take any and all appropriate next steps. Last week, and this is the key, I was about to bring this up. There's new reporting from the lady we had on the other day who's been all over this story Azar from Nomani. Jump Street. That's right.
She has screen grabs of text messages.
Here it is.
From the athletic director who, by the way, even when it's on the side of what I think is correct, I hate. I will never be okay with private conversation text messages being screen grabbed and used publicly. Like, if some good is being done where, like, you're catching a bad guy who's going to do something horrendous, fine. I don't even know if this reaches the threshold to me for trapping someone with text message pictures. I can't stand that. Not to blame the journalist, Danny, but the person that leaked them and tricked them into basically the admittance. But essentially, these pictures are text messages where this AD is joking with emojis about how they'll be able to get all the kids to Hayfield, and as long as some of them are listed as homeless, they can, you know, figure it out. And the guy's like, well, they have to actually be homeless, man. And he's like, yeah, you bet. And like, it's very clear what he's saying in these text messages, exactly what a lot of us were suggesting, yeah, which was this is not on the up and up.
Last week, this is again from the letter. Last week, several new and troubling text messages were brought to light and are now part of the ongoing review regarding Hayfield Secondary School recruiting concerns. FCPS can only act on the information that it has, and these messages brought new concerns to the initial investigation. Human resources staff and internal and external counsel reviewed this new evidence, investigated further, and finally concluded that they provided evidence of potential impropriety. Today, I share summary information about the inquiry and the outcome of the inquiry with school board members. Long and short is, they couldn't cover it up anymore, in my opinion, right?
Yeah.
Basically, talking about from the Fairfax County part, because they were basically turned a blind eye, weren't interested, and now that, like, hey, look, we got it. Here's the gun. There's smoke coming out of it.
Well,
what are you going
to
do?
There's no smoking gun. My point was, this is a moral issue that they won't be able to prove unless they have, I literally said, like, text messages. Well, they have screen grabs of text messages. But this superintendent, and I don't know her, and she might be the sweetest lady ever and the best in the world at being a superintendent, screwed this up so bad. I mean, this has been so embarrassing for her, I would imagine, and her office.
Yeah, it should be.
How many different emails has she sent in the last week just contradicting one after the other? Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a very political type move. And again, brushing up against politics stuff, I think what you guys think, I hate the bad thing, I like the thing that you like. But there's a, I'm going to show you how seriously I take this after the problem that you oversaw happens, where you go, big investigation thing. That's awesome. Thank you for that going forward. What about the problem that everybody told you about six months ago?
We all kept saying, this seems weird. And you kept saying, no, it was on the up and up.
And if you want to cover this, you can't be within a couple hundred yards of the actual conversation, journalist, based on nothing.
But we're out of time here today. We should get to this tomorrow. Let's get you a quick Caps power play. Your Washington Capitals are in Florida to take on the Panthers, 7 o'clock puck drop, 35 minutes from now. The Caps have lost two straight games since Ovi's injury, 2-1 to the Avs, 3-2 to the Devils, averaging just a goal and a half in those two games. They got to find a way to get some pucks in the net without Ovi. That starts tonight, beginning of a Florida trip. It's the dad's trip, which is cool. All the male mentors for the players are on the trip with the team, which is very awesome.
Florida can score, and they also get scored on a lot. Maybe a good opportunity for the Capitals to get back on the good foot, as you pointed out, and put some biscuits in the basket. Florida has lost three straight, including 7-4 the other night to the Colorado Avalanche.
We'll be busy tomorrow on Grant and Danny. 16 minutes of fury, our fastest 16 on the NFL. We'll cover every game from Week 12. Plus, after a bad home loss to a bad team for Washington, what'll be different this week against Tennessee? We'll have Commander Survivor, and we got to get elbow deep into this Hayfield football re-ban, I guess we'll call it. They are back out of the playoffs. What changed? All coming up on the show tomorrow starting at 2 o'clock. Make sure you're with us. Grant and Danny on the Fan saying so long.
Thank you for coming.